Om Agyana Tamarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Tadati Swapadantikam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatya De Satarane. How many minutes, Archie Tipper? How many minutes will we talk for? 5 minutes. So this is the auspicious Tirobhava of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who came to this universe on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us transcendental knowledge. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada used to say that in this world there's nothing lacking except for transcendental knowledge. Generally speaking, the material world is based on ignorance. And that ignorance is basically that the living entity, the soul, thinks himself to be dependent on different material circumstances. He thinks that his life depends upon some material body, and some material body depends upon varieties of material circumstances. Therefore, taking a material body, in order to protect the body, he acquires family, society, friendship, so-called love, and a variety of different means of trying to maintain the body. But Srila Prabhupada is an example of someone who was completely dependent upon his spiritual master, who had taught him to become completely dependent upon Krishna's mercy. So, as Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitaro Nishingha Naratasya Chagadam Udanvato Majatonau Taptasya Tat Privadhir Ihanjashestas Tvadvido Tanubritam Tvam Upekshitanam. That ultimately this verse means that no one's going to be able to protect us unless Krishna protects us. And even if Krishna protects us, ultimately we die anyhow. Therefore, the ultimate protection is to become conscious of Krishna by becoming dependent upon Him, by actually feeling that we have to take shelter of Him. And to take shelter of Krishna means take shelter of His words coming down in disciplic succession, to take shelter of one who's taking shelter of Krishna's devotee. Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. So Prabhupada was the example of someone who had actually taken shelter of Krishna's devotee who was in disciplic succession. Prabhupada said that's disciplic succession actually. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant the holy name. Someone would hear the holy name from his lips and he'd become ecstatic and he chant the holy name in ecstasy, someone else would hear them, and they become ecstatic. And that way, the disciplic succession goes on. Therefore, Prabhupada was actually our link to that disciplic succession because he was fully conscious of Krishna, and he founded a society based upon the principles of helping all living entities become or make some progress at least, to becoming conscious of Krishna, and especially expected those who joined the society, they'd actually realize that this society is dedicated simply to becoming dependent upon and thus conscious of Krishna. So although we're engaged in many activities, we should not forget that the aim of those activities is the satisfaction of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has asked us, Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amar Aga Guruhana Tari Desh. He's asked us, somehow or another, try to convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tell them about Krishna, And if they can understand their relation with Krishna, then their life is becoming successful. So Prabhupada was in ecstasy. He was always taking transcendental pleasure out of his service to his Guru Maharaj, and therefore his result in full consciousness of Krishna. And that gift he's giving to us, both in his books, in his society, and also he's present here in his Murti form, as he's given us his deity, as Krishna is present in his deity form, so Prabhupada is also present in his deity form also. So therefore, although we're celebrating his Tirubhava, but actually Prabhupada is present both in his words and his deity form, and he's also present in those sincere devotees who are trying to follow his instructions and act as an instrument for him, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by trying to become Krishna conscious and spread that consciousness to others too. So he reasons ill who thinks that Vaishnavas die, for thou art living still and sound, that Vaishnavas die to live and living spread the holy name around. So though generally people lament over a disappearance day, but as Prabhupada said, actually the associates of Krishna never disappear. Just like the sun, it rises for some time, then we see the sun going down. Foolish people think that the sun has disappeared or has ceased to exist, but everyone, a more intelligent person knows that the sun is still there, it simply has disappeared from our eyesight. Similarly, Prabhupada is still present here in his instructions, and therefore if we follow those instructions, we can actually intimately associate with him and get the intimate association of all our previous acharyas, and ultimately the six Goswamis, the Panchatattva, and develop the feelings of separation of Chi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore constantly live in Vrindavan, engage in the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, are you okay? Yeah. Dear Srila Prabhupada, I remember about 20 years ago having a dream about you. You were living in the basement of someone's house, and I brought you some prasadam. The room was dim lit, and I could not see what was in the room. You turned to me and said very earnestly, "Will you take care of my personal body?" gesturing to Nityananda deity in the corner of the room. When I woke up, I was puzzled as to the dream's meaning. You had left your body many years before that. How could I serve your personal body when it was physically gone? Thinking there might be a clue to the meaning of the dream in your gesture pointing to Nityananda, I researched the role Nityananda had in the Sankirtan movement. He was the teacher and nurturer of Lord Chaitanya's householder community. Your personal body, I realized, was ISKCON. You live on in the spirit of service to your personal body, ISKCON. I have my personal instruction to serve you by nurturing your congregational community. I see you through hearing your words in your books, following your instructions, associating with devotees, speaking your wisdom, and listening to your voice through your localized aspect in Chaitya Guru, the teacher within my heart. Srila Prabhupada, you have never left me. You are a true Vaishnava. Because a Vaishnava never dies while living still and sound, a Vaishnava dies to live while spreading the holy name around. Thank you so much for the gift of you. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet, all glories to your divine grace. In December 1958, you wrote some Bengali prayers on the occasion of the disappearance day of your spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. You called these prayers Viraha Ashtakam. In the first verse of the first prayer, you wrote, on this anniversary of your separation, I am utterly despondent. You wrote in a letter to your disciple Krishna Das on October 21st, 1968, quote, to feel separation from the spiritual master or Krishna is very good position. That means one who is in pure love with Krishna or his representative, the spiritual master, he thinks always of them. And this thinking process is Krishna consciousness. And on the absolute platform, there is no difference of separation and meeting. The separation is also meeting, end quote. So really, there is no separation between this disciple and spiritual master. In this regard, you wrote in a letter to Shama Sundar Prabhu, dated July 19, 1970, quote, I also do not feel separation from my Guru Maharaj. When I am engaged in his service, his picture gives me sufficient strength. To serve the spiritual master's word is more important than to serve him physically, end quote. And in a letter to Hansa Duda dated June 20th, 1970 from Los Angeles, you wrote, quote, so far I am concerned, I do not factually feel any separation from my spiritual master because I am trying to serve him according to his desire. That should be our motto. If you kindly try to fulfill my mission for which you have been sent there, that will be our constant association. End quote. So, this is one of the big mysteries of devotional service, how there can be meeting and separation from the spiritual master after his disappearance. And this can be done by thinking of you and serving your orders. So Srila Prabhupada, please allow me to enter into a deeper understanding and realization of this mystery of how to meet with you in separation. Your servant, Judah Karma Das.
Krishna. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to your divine, loving lotus feet. Your example of deep compassion compares to no one anywhere ever. It is so far-reaching with no boundaries or discrimination. Your selfless activities are the most satisfying and soothing topics to our hearts. Gurudev, now that we have been serving under your guidance for many years, we have the opportunity to observe how you really did build a house the whole world can live in. You are teaching us personally each and every day how to practice and serve. Through our love for you, we will truly love Krishna someday, very soon. This can never be repaid. You have taken lives full of bewilderment and are turning them into lives full of certainty and happiness. I pray, dear Srila Prabhupada, that I can share Krishna consciousness with as many souls as possible before I leave this life. I thank you eternally for all the protection you have given me. Your grateful servant, Jagajanani Dasi.
I hope everyone will excuse me. I have a little cough, so I need to take some water every once in a while. From my respectful obeisances and to my spiritual master's lotus feet, I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and he opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. What can I say? I shouldn't be here, period. On my drive over this morning, we're having a program this evening, by the way, up in Prabhupada's quarters, and everyone's invited to come, and we'll be speaking about Srila Prabhupada also there. So please come and join us. Some of the scheduled speakers, before I begin, just so you know, some of the scheduled speakers are Ram Baro, again, and Kopalatik, Divya Drishti, Punyatma, Vishanta, Bhutatma, John Matlick, Nisringananda, Nanda Nandana, Jaya Gauranga, and Nar Narayan. So please join us. I'll be starting about 7 o'clock with Artik and Kirtan and Guru Puja, and then we'll be speaking up until about 10 o'clock. I wasn't really planning on speaking this morning, but Arjita Prabhu asked me to. So I'm going to, and he's probably going to regret this because he might have to turn the microphone off after a while. I think we should all appreciate Archita's service because it's kind of a thankless task. I sometimes do that, and it's a little hard juggling sometimes and setting the priorities and what is the protocol, who goes first, who doesn't, you know, who's Prabhupada disciple, the non-Prabhupada. You know, it becomes very complex, and sometimes people get a little annoyed, and he has to sometimes be the timekeeper, and sometimes people get annoyed with that, so... everybody thank him when you get a chance, because I know he does this regularly, and it's not an easy job. What's that? Monroe's doing this one? Okay. Anyway. I was driving over this morning, and I saw a sign. Somebody had lost their pet, apparently, and the sign was "Lost Dog." And as soon as I saw that, Prabhupada allowed me to realize, hey, that's me. I'm a lost dog. And it was by Prabhupada's mercy that he picked me up and allowed me to follow him home. And now I'm just waiting for some of his remnants like a dog would. I don't belong in the assembly of devotees. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be in any assembly of Vaishnavas anywhere. But I am here, and I'm here for this reason. I wrote this as a verse in a piece I wrote, 108 Glories, some while back. And this one applies. Srila Prabhupada is my catalyst for embarrassment. His flawless character puts me to shame. At times, it's hard to face him, but his magic attraction prevents me from crawling away. So normally I would feel like crawling away and hiding in my hole, but Prabhupada's magic attraction just keeps me coming back. And I think this is so relevant to us as disciples of Prabhupada and as aspiring disciples of Prabhupada and as followers of Srila Prabhupada, that this is the glue that keeps our movement together, our mission together, despite all the difficulties, and there are a lot of them. But if we keep remembering Srila Prabhupada, then somehow or other we can get past all of those troubles and all those difficulties. So I, for the last 30 years, I guess, I felt like, well, I don't want to say anything or speak in front of the devotees until, you know, I get my act together and clean it up a little bit, and I'm not such a hypocrite. But I've realized what you see is what you get. I'm a hypocrite, and that's the way it is. And I'm still going to talk about Prabhupada and glorify him because that gives me pleasure and it is my duty. And we all have that responsibility to convey those glories, those wonderful qualities of Prabhupada to all peoples of the world. I'll tell one story, which I also wasn't going to tell, but I think it's appropriate here. This is in 1972, Prabhupada came to San Diego for the first time. And I was just, you know, one of the guys, one of the Prabhus, same as I am now, no one special. There was an evening engagement that all the devotees went to with Prabhupada. He was speaking at a school somewhere. And Bhaktidas, who was the temple president, and he asked me to stay back and guard Prabhupada's quarters. And first I thought, well, you know, I'm going to miss the speaking engagement with Srila Prabhupada. And that didn't set well with me, but that was only momentary. And then I thought, wow, what a wonderful opportunity. I have a chance to, you know, do some personal service for Prabhupada in his private quarters. He was staying at a little apartment just down the street from the temple, somebody's apartment, a house, actually. And everybody went to the engagement. I stayed back in Prabhupada's quarters. I can't imagine why they needed guarding. There was nothing there. Prabhupada, you know, there was nothing special about it, other than it was Srila Prabhupada's residence, which was special to me. But that's what Bhaktidas asked me to do. I asked him about that many years later, and he doesn't remember, you know, why he asked me to do that. He just did. So anyway, I thought, okay, I'm here, and I'll take advantage of the opportunity to do some personal service for Srila Prabhupada. Because this is, you know, something rare for, you know, usually it's the big shots, the Prabhupada's personal secretary or, you know, GBC men, sannyasis who get to have that type of association in Prabhupada's personal quarters. So I ran around the neighborhood, as we did in those days, and picked flowers. I, you know, went to several houses and got blue hydrangea and some gardenias and some other flowers, and I decorated the apartment. Put some a nice bouquet in. There's a little coffee table in the living room. I put a bouquet of flowers there. Put a nice blue hydrangea on Prabhupada's pillow in his bedroom. And then Prabhupada's slippers were sitting right next to his bed, so I placed a gardenia in each of Srila Prabhupada's slippers. And I sat there chanting my rounds, and I was very happy and content to be in the place where, you know, the pure devotee was residing. And I thought, you know, Bhaktidas would just come back at some point and say, okay, you can go take rest now. And that was it. And that's all I was expecting. But as I sat there and chanted and waited, and then suddenly the door opened and in comes Srila Prabhupada. And I fell flat as a rod, as we're supposed to do. And I couldn't believe my good fortune because I never imagined I would be in an intimate setting with Srila Prabhupada, you know, in his personal quarters. For most of his association with Prabhupada was usually during the Srimad Bhagavatam class or during the Guru Puja in the morning. And, you know, if you're real lucky, once in a while, some devotees get to go on a morning walk or something like that, get to do a little bit of service. But, you know, to be in Prabhupada's personal quarters was, for someone like me, it was pretty unexpected and a rare treat. So Prabhupada came in with Bhaktidas and Shamasundar, and Nandakumara was Prabhupada's servant at the time. And I was just overjoyed. I actually don't remember a word that Prabhupada said, although he was talking. I was so happy just to be there. He sat at his desk, which was against the wall, his little short table, and I was standing next to him, leaning against the wall, looking down at him, and I had a big smile on my face, and Prabhupada was looking through a book. It was not a devotee, it was not a Vaishnava book, it was a book of San Diego or something, perhaps he had just gotten it at this engagement, and he was looking through it, and Shyama Sundar and Nandakumar Bhaktadas were standing in front of the table, and I was standing right here to his side, leaning against the wall. And Prabhupada was making some jokes and just very casual and very relaxed atmosphere. As I was standing there, and I was leaning, I was, you know, kind of relaxed, I was thinking, all of a sudden came into my mind, well, maybe this isn't right. Maybe this isn't the right protocol. I'm standing, my spiritual master is sitting down. I shouldn't be in a higher position. I'm kind of leaning. And all of a sudden I just said, just shut up. Just keep your mind out of this. You know, just enjoy the moment. And that's exactly what I did. And it turned out to be very appropriate. Suddenly, from nowhere, Prabhupada just looked up to me like this, for no reason that I can think of. And he had a smile on his face that went from here to here. And I was so taken by that, I almost fainted. You know, it just filled the room with his glow. So I was thinking that this is the perfect moment. This is the moment that I don't want to end, and it still is. It's in my whole life. That was the perfect moment, and somehow I hope someday that I can get back to that situation, because for me that was the happiest time. So, you know, this is something I wrote for this evening, but I'll read it now. And this tells of all of my encounters with Srila Prabhupada. They're all in one-liners. First gives a general description of the time. And it's called Once, and it's in two parts. The first part is called Generation Loss. Once we rose in pre-dawn darkness, bathed in liquid ice, swayed two morning cymbals, swooned on hymns of Brahma, attained an audience with God, glancing in the radiance of Radha and Krishna. Once we prayed with conviction, kept unbreakable faith, shook off illusion, cherished inner treasures, witnessing divine glory, cradling the name in sanctified chambers of the heart. Once we spoke in humbled voices, fell flat as fresh-cut grass, had no difference of opinion, embraced our brothers, enacted miracles, dispensing mercies that brighten dingy souls. Once we answered the call of drums, rallied on the front lines, stood shoulder to shoulder, raised our arms in victory, abandoned sorrows in the dust, dancing the night away, soaring on waves of joy. Once we danced in step, with pure intent, saffron billowing, ears pricked, open-hearted, ascending new heights, wrapped in sound. Part two is called Clutch. Once we heard the tolling of your gong, sowed your words in every town, delighted at your telling jokes, accepted flower prizes from your hand, heartened to your promise of liberty, felt our jawbone plummet at your audacious declaration. Once we laced a string of roses and carnations, set the floral wreath around your neck, chased away the torrid air with peacock plumes, marveled at your taming of the heckler in the starlight, scuttled on your flank at thronging airway terminals, watched you lift your neck beads like this, proclaiming, "This is my dog collar. I am Krishna's dog." Once we clutched your feet, donned in coral cotton, held priceless space in ivory sheets in windy city darshans, whipped up a cauliflower and potato entree for your lunch, garnered eucalyptus sprigs for polishing your smile, sat one seat away for the play at Syria Mosque, were forever touched when you declined a posh hotel and chose to stay with us. Once we downed an orange peel from your plate, inhaled the sandal fragrance left upon your pillow, sit gardenias white as swans inside your bedroom slippers, welled with content to watch you at your desk, beheld your golden countenance, majestic as the sun. One an unexpected smile, gracing infinite, glowing ear to ear. Once we stood united, held your order high, surrendered life and soul, adorned you with the best of our devotion, withstood the dread farewells that rent the heart in sunder, leaving us in thirst of times we'd be with you again. This is from the Macmillan Dictionary, clutch, transitive, to hold someone or something firmly, for example, because you are afraid or in pain or do not want to lose them. Intransitive, to try to take hold of someone or something because you are afraid or in pain or in order to stop yourself from falling. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminitha Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Guravane Precharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschichade Satarane. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, how much time do we have? 5 minutes? Okay, I've accumulated some of the interviews that I've done over the years that speak about Srila Prabhupada and his qualities, especially during his final days, which gives some examples as to his superior nature. And I hope I can maintain. We'll start with one short story from Tamal Krishna Goswami. During Prabhupada's final days in Vrindavan, someone brought him ice cream from New Vrindavan. They had packed it in dry ice to keep it cold. Prabhupada ate a teaspoon of the New Vrindavan ice cream. And then they gave him a ring they had made. And as soon as Prabhupada saw it, he said, "So, where is the bride?" Well, he's on his departure bed, yet he has got a quick wit and sense of humor. So where is the bride? This is a story from Tejas. I was staying at the Hyderabad farm, which was important to Srila Prabhupada. When I heard that Srila Prabhupada was not feeling well and that there was a chance he might leave the world, I went to see him in Vrindavan around November 8th. Prabhupada's room was packed with devotees, and I tried to be as inconspicuous as possible to not disrupt the mood. Everyone was very quiet, and I could see Prabhupada's condition. He hadn't eaten for almost 6 months. He was lying in bed, emaciated, weighing maybe 70 pounds, if that much, drinking one spoon, two spoons of water, maybe eating a little bit. I was sitting in the back, listening. There was Kirtan, and Kirtanananda came in and offered Srila Prabhupada strawberries from New Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada asked, "What is the value of strawberries?" No one knew what to say. Several devotees poked me to say something, as I'm known as a walking encyclopedia. This is Tejas. I didn't want to intrude on Prabhupada, but I said, "Srila Prabhupada, the value of strawberries is that they are very high in fructose, and that provides immediate energy." Even lying on his departure bed, not eating, Prabhupada was pragmatic. The devotee next to Prabhupada said, "Tejas says that," and he repeated what I said. Prabhupada said, "Oh, Tejas is here? How is the Hyderabad farm?" Even in his state, he was so cognizant. I gave him a report that we were growing corn, rice, mung beans, and so on. And as soon as I said corn, Prabhupada said, "Oh, corn? You can grind the corn, and then there are big pieces which you can cook with water like rice. It was called bhatta. And the fine powder, you make that like a chapati and you cook it on the cooking pan. The villagers like this very much." From a physical point of view, Prabhupada was starving. But what was he thinking? How we could make corn in the most delicious way to make the villagers happy when they took prasadam. This is a person of unlimited compassion. And in a similar vein of compassion, this is Brahmananda. In the final days, we were with Prabhupada in Vrindavan taking turns to softly chant with little cymbals in a vigil kirtan. At a certain point, I got sick. I collapsed in my room with a fever, and it took me about a week to recover. Then I was able to again go and see Prabhupada. When I came into his room, Prabhupada was lying on his bed, conversing with his servants. Sometimes he would ask who was leading the kirtan. That particular day, he mentioned my name. Prabhupada said, "Oh, Brahmananda." I came forward. He said, "You were ill? You were not feeling well?" Now, Brahmananda says, and here is Prabhupada completely shriveled up from fasting, but he was concerned that I was not feeling well. I just had a little fever. And here is Prabhupada on his departure bed saying, "Oh, you are not feeling well?" With such concern and love. Brahmananda said, I was totally affected by that. How Prabhupada could be thinking that I wasn't feeling well. The thing that affected me most was how much Prabhupada loved us, although we are not very lovable, as we all have defects. Why did Prabhupada love us? He loved us because he saw us as servants of Krishna. He said that we were sent by his Guru Maharaj to help him in his mission. Prabhupada saw us as Krishna's servants, and Prabhupada's mission was to spread Krishna consciousness. Whatever we could do to assist in this cause of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada very much appreciated. I think that is the essence of Srila Prabhupada. He can see us as servants of Krishna. So let us try to be that. That's all. And we'll stop there, even though there are a few more. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. I'm just a sentimental fool, so I came equipped with Kleenex. Please don't mind. Although Srila Prabhupada, of course, is always with us, Prabhupada somehow or other knew our different natures and gave special mercy to us sometimes according to that. And so, because I'm a sentimental fool, Srila Prabhupada gave me a couple of extra boosts so that it would keep me attached to his lotus feet after he departed. I had the special mercy of residing in Vrindavan in 1977. So in August of that year, my oldest daughter left her body in Vrindavan. And, of course, it was extremely traumatic for me. Somehow or other, she had gotten hold of some medication, and she was playing with another child, and they were taking medicine, and my daughter was taking quinine. So she left her body, and it was very, very difficult. I was completely devastated, and I didn't know. I almost felt like going crazy. I really didn't know how to go on. At that time, Srila Prabhupada was keeping to his quarters, and not very many devotees were allowed to go in to be with him, definitely not the ladies. So Jagadish Prabhu at the time told Srila Prabhupada what had happened, and he told him that he asked Prabhupada, what is her destination? She was 8 years old, and she took this medicine by accident, but she's in Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada said her destination was personal liberation. So that made me feel better, definitely. But I was still very distraught. And the next day, when we were preparing to take my daughter's body on a palanquin, Srila Prabhupada had instructed that because she was only 8 and young and pure, that her body should simply be floated in the Jamuna, so instead of being burned or so forth. So we were preparing the palanquin right outside Srila Prabhupada's quarters, and a crowd of devotees was gathering to take her down to the Jamuna. And Srila Prabhupada heard the commotion and asked his servant what was going on. This was told to me afterwards. And he was informed that they were preparing her body for taking to the Jamuna. And Srila Prabhupada took off his garland and gave it to his servant and told him to put his garland on her body. So, for me, that gesture from Srila Prabhupada just made everything all right. And from that point on, that day I was able to dance all the way to the Jamuna and for that ceremony because of Prabhupada's kind and compassionate gesture. And then 3 months later, about on this day in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada left the planet, and I feel like it was also his very special mercy, his causeless mercy, that I was there at that time as well. Every year on this day, I become very emotional because it was a very emotional scene. I'll just share a little bit with you about my experience being there in Vrindavan during that time. At a certain point, all the devotees were notified that Srila Prabhupada would be leaving. The Kaviraj had determined that it would not be very long. So everyone was allowed into Srila Prabhupada's room at that time. And for many of us, especially the women, we hadn't actually seen Srila Prabhupada for quite a few weeks. Earlier, he had been, they were bringing him out on a palanquin, a rocking chair actually, bringing him for darshan in the temple room, and we would see him at that time. But for quite a while, a lot of us hadn't seen him, so he had grown very gaunt, and many of you have seen the DVDs and heard the stories already. But so at that time, I was able to be in Srila Prabhupada's room, and the devotees were all chanting very sweetly. At one point, you know, the kirtan became very, very intense, and you know, the Kaviraj at that time was checking for Prabhupada's pulse and breathing and found none. And so at that point, you know, all the devotees who were there, we just, you know, we lost it. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know what would happen next. We didn't know if we would ever see Srila Prabhupada's form again. Most of us, other than those who were in charge, didn't know what the process was when the spiritual master leaves his body. What do you do? What happens? So we were all completely devastated. We were kind of walking around like zombies, just chanting and wondering. I know one or two devotees sort of threw themselves against the wall, and there was so much pain, there was so much anxiety. Our world had fallen apart. And so I remember just going up to my room, putting on Srila Prabhupada's bhajan cassette tape at the time, and just listening and crying and wondering how I would go on. Then later we learned that Srila Prabhupada's body was going to be brought into the temple room. And so he sat on the Vyasasan all night, and a lot of the devotees stayed there. So we stayed in the temple room all night long, just chanting. And, you know, I remember being there, chanting as much as I could, maybe dozing off now and then. But everybody was there, and we were all just Prabhupada's family together, mourning and wondering how we would go on. And then in the morning, there was a final Guru Puja for Srila Prabhupada. All of his disciples were able to offer him a last garland for one last time. And then the Ye Anilo Premadana prayers were sung. To this day, every time that particular song is sung, I remember singing it for Srila Prabhupada on that particular occasion, and it's very, I become very emotional about it. It's just a very takes me right back to that moment and those feelings of intense anxiety and love and separation from Srila Prabhupada. And then after Srila Prabhupada's last darshan in front of Sri Sri Gauranitai, Krishna Balaram, and Radhashyama Sundar, then we took him on parikram all throughout Vrindavan to the Goswami temples, which was extremely blissful. All the pujaris would come out and sprinkle Srila Prabhupada with holy water and charanamrita and so forth, and it was so sweet. And I realized that as we went on, a crowd of bridge bossies would gather and join with us and follow along the procession. So everywhere we went, the crowd got bigger and bigger. And I remember thinking how Srila Prabhupada was like a transcendental Pied Piper. Even though he had already left his body, he was attracting everyone to him at that time. And by the time we got all the way back to Krishna Balaram Temple, there was a huge crowd, a huge, enormous crowd. Almost all of Vrindavan seemed to be there. And then came one of the most difficult parts, which was actually putting Srila Prabhupada in samadhi. And what I remember from that is that torrents of tears. Everybody was crying, not just me, the sentimental fool, but all the devotees around me. We were all just crying. We were chanting. There was kirtan going on, but we were chanting sort of like we were stunned, actually. We were just chanting and crying and looking and watching what was going to happen. And I don't know about everybody else, but the biggest fear in my mind was when that moment would come when Srila Prabhupada's beautiful head would be covered and we would no longer see his form. So eventually that moment came. There was some ceremony, and then Prabhupada was surrounded with salt and then earth. And when it came to, you know, the last moment, I watched while, you know, that his head got smaller and the space got smaller and smaller, and finally we couldn't see him anymore. And then we all were allowed to help throw earth into the hole to fill the hole around Srila Prabhupada in samadhi. So I feel extremely fortunate and blessed to have been there on that occasion, because the emotion, the devotional emotions were so high that it was an unforgettable experience. I relive it every year. And I am so grateful to you, Srila Prabhupada, for allowing me to be there, because the strength of that spiritual emotion, I feel, is what keeps me going in your service. Thank you.
Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militanjena Tadmaisi Gulavenamaha. Okay, I wrote an offering. It's kind of long. But since we are remembering Srila Prabhupada, I'd like to mention just two two pastimes, short pastimes about Srila Prabhupada. I joined in August 71. Srila Prabhupada came to Mexico in June 72, 1st June 72. So it was 10 months from the time I joined to the first time I got the opportunity or the great blessing to see Srila Prabhupada. All along, the devotees will say, Prabhupada is here or Prabhupada is there. Prabhupada said, that was very common at that time. Prabhupada said this, or Prabhupada said that, or Prabhupada is now here or there. And then when Prabhupada came to Mexico City, we all were new devotees. We were initiated at that time, 1972. And in other temples, like big temples like here, LA, and many other temples, Srila Prabhupada will have his morning walk, and that was only mainly the temple presidents, the sannyasis, like the different big devotees will go out on the morning walks with Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, the first day he came, he was in the morning, he gave the speech at the temple. In the afternoon, we have a program in the Masonic Lodge. And in every engagement, preaching engagement for Srila Prabhupada, we took his Vyasasan. Everywhere we took the Vyasasan. The next morning, Prabhupada went out for his morning walk. As you know, that was his usual schedule. But we were all new devotees. And when we saw Srila Prabhupada walking out to walk to the Chapultepec Park, that's only about 3 blocks from the temple, when we saw Srila Prabhupada walking, what we did, those who we were around, we just followed him. We just went with him. He was on his japa walk, and so we just went with him, and he walked around the park and then came back to the temple. So we had that great opportunity that wasn't very common, actually. And another pastime I want to talk about is about that picture on the corner, the sad bush. At least when I see it, I remember Srila Prabhupada. The painters were up here painting, working on these paints. And one day, Prabhupada walked into the temple. I think it must be like Monday, because Sunday feast, we used to put the pandal around to decorate the temple room. So it must be a Monday. I think I was cleaning here the temple room. And all of a sudden, Prabhupada came with different devotees. And the first thing I did, just offered my obeisances. And they went upstairs this way. And what did I do? I follow. I had to follow them. And so Prabhupada was looking at the paintings the painters were doing. And on that one, Prabhupada asked the painter, who is this here? And the devotee said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya Prabhupada. But you just see how he was holding a danda. He was holding a danda here. And Prabhupada said, but he's not a sannyas, he was a householder. Oh, I didn't know Prabhupada. And then he said, then why you don't ask? You should ask. But actually, he was holding a danda right there. And he was painted now as a householder. And so those are the two short pastimes I want to mention. I did write like 10 pages offering, actually shorter. And I'd like to read, you allow me. Okay. First part is your divine grace, and the definition that Srila Prabhupada gives is grace means he will willingly give you mercy. Dear Srila Prabhupada, I do not exaggerate when I say that you are personally Lord Chaitanya's Audarya magnanimity manifestation. Magnanimous means generous. Kind, noble, forgiving, humane, liberal, valiant, magnificent. Your divine grace possesses all those qualities transcendentally. If we further make the derivatives from magnificent, then your divine grace are dignified, excellent, glorious, mighty, beautiful, illustrious, and grand. Still further defining grand, it means higher in rank, status, or dignity. Than others having the same title, majestic, stately, dignified, elevated, sublime, great, preeminent, extraordinary, commanding, overwhelming, foremost, and awe-inspiring. By your divine grace, particularly won us over by your great humility. Dear Srila Prabhupada, it said in the scriptures that one must search and approach a bona fide spiritual master, but in our case, your divine grace came to us in this way, making the unfortunate greatly fortunate. It is all due to your boundless mercy. Tabi Gyanartan Sagurun Eva Abhigachet Samipani Srotriyam Brahmanishtan. In this way, we can understand that your divine grace is Lord Nityananda's mercy incarnation. So by your kind recommendation, we are getting Chaitanya Nityananda's rays of benediction. The other part is called concentrated mercy. It speaks about how Srila Prabhupada installed Gornita Idiris. I'm going to read it. I do not know of anybody else as merciful as your humble self, your divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Certainly you are the concentrated mercy of the divine couple, C.C. Radha Krishna, and that of C.C. Gornitai, the saviors of the most fallen. Without their combined mercy, there is no way out of this entanglement called the material world. No doubt you are the personification of that sweet mercy. And this other one is about the title of Srila Prabhupada. The Lord does not forget the fallen souls who have forgotten him, and your divine grace descended to save them all. You represent your Lord Chaitanya Mahavadanjaya, the most merciful, therefore deserving the title Srila Prabhupada. So simple, why they should they know and accept it? What is the reason they invent so many excuses? Is this title conferred only by loving and sentimental disciples, or your divine grace did some wonderful and extraordinary acts, fulfilling the desire of Lord Chaitanya and also the great acharyas like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who predicted a great personality will spread the holy name all over the world, like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, who wanted this, that the holy name be spread and to whom you give all credit. This is the challenge today to detractors who cannot call you simply Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments in his Anubhashya on Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila 7:11, quote, without being empowered by the Lord potency of Lord Krishna to fulfill his desires, and without being specifically favored by the Lord to favored by the Lord, no human being can become the spiritual master of the whole world. Only an empowered personality can distribute the holy name of the Lord and enjoy all fallen souls to worship Krishna. By distributing the holy name of the Lord, he cleanses the hearts of the most fallen people. Therefore, he extinguishes the blazing fire of the material world. Not only that, he broadcasts the shining brightness of Krishna's effulgence throughout the world. Such an acharya or spiritual master should be considered non-different from Krishna. That is, he should be considered the incarnation of Krishna, Lord Krishna's potency. Such a personality is Krishna Lingita Vigraha. That is, he is always embraced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Such a person is above the considerations of Varnashram institution. He's the guru or spiritual master for the entire world. A devotee on the topmost platform, the Mahabhagavat stage, and a Paramahansa Thakur, a spiritual form only fit to be addressed as Paramahansa or Thakur. Prabhupada means the representative of the Lord, therefore you are Prabhupada. Prabhupada means the master unto whose Lord speed other masters sit, therefore you are Prabhupada. Sampradaya Acharya. The Sampradaya Acharya is the representative of the disciplic succession of Sampradaya due to some special service he rendered a guidance to the devotees. Srila Baladevi Vidyabhushana first listed 21 Sampradaya Acharyas from Lord Krishna to Lord Chaitanya in his Prameya Ratnavali. Srila Prabhupada in his Bhagavad Gita, as it is, listed the Sampradaya Acharyas from Lord Krishna to our days, following the list left by his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, fulfilling the sweet desire of Lord Chaitanya and that of all the Acharyas in the Brahma Gaudiya Sampradaya of spreading the holy name all over the world to save all the conditioned souls, is without a doubt the most recent Sampradaya Acharya after his own spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada. This title of Sampradaya Acharya fits him perfectly. 1973. In December 1973, right here in Los Angeles Temple, we witnessed your moving offering to your spiritual master. Then you said, so there are two faces, Prakata and Aprakata, appearance and disappearance. So we have nothing to lament on account of disappearance because Krishna and Krishna's devotee, not only devotees, even the non-devotees, nobody disappears. And you further said, so spiritually, appearance and disappearance, there is no difference. Just like in the material point of view, if a person takes birth, suppose you get a son born, you become very happy. The same son, when passes away, you become very unhappy. This is material. And spiritually, there is no such difference, appearance or disappearance. So, also, this is the disappearance date of Om Vishnupada Sisimad Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Today, Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. So, there is nothing to be lamented. Also, we feel separation. That feeling is there. But spiritually, there is no difference. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Krishna, glories to the assembled devotees. So my offering is going to be reading a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to me. This is, Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco. Is this right? Am I doing this right? Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco, March 22, 1968. And we were in the 22nd Avenue Temple. And I had been designated as the secretary when we had Ishtagoshi. So I was writing every week to Srila Prabhupada questions that we had during Ishtagoshi. So I got to get all these nice letters from Srila Prabhupada. He said, please accept my dear Balai Dasi. Please accept my blessings. I am in due receipt of your letter dated March 19th, along with Ishtagoshi notes. I am always so pleased to see how nicely the Ishtagoshi meetings are being carried on. So I'm always anticipating your letters, along with Ishtagoshti reports. Thank you very much. So these are instructions. These are all questions we didn't know the answers to. That yes, Sri Tulsi is the eternal consort of Krishna and the most pure devotee. and therefore the Tulsi plant is worshipped by Vaishnavas. Yes, you may say the prayer to the spiritual master three times, and also the Namo Brahmanya prayer three times when offering prasadam. That is very nice, to say the mantra three times. Also, you may, after offering to the spiritual master, offer to Lord Chaitanya by saying the prayer Namaho Mahabhadanaya three times, and then offer to Krishna thrice. And we asked about singing samsara prayers, and Srila Prabhupada said, so far the singing of the prayers to the spiritual master is concerned, there is no limitation on how many times it is sung. But it should be done three times daily, and morning it is required. Yes, you may say this prayer at noon prasadam if it is possible, as sing again in the evening. And you may sing other prayers as you learn them also. I am so pleased to hear of the activities of Jadarani and her artist assistants. We require this service, as we require so many pictures. Pictures, books, etc. All we shall sell on world tour with our Sankirtan party. So we require a lot of pictures in stock. And wherever we open our centers, we must have at least Panchatattva picture, Vishnu picture, Sankirtan painting, and spiritual master's picture, and Radha Krishna painting. They are all required. Of course, this is also before there were any installed deities, so we had pictures. Therefore, Krishna has sent so many devotees to work on the painting department, so we have to utilize them fully, so their service is fully utilized for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Thanking you once more for your sincere service, and I hope you are well, your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Now the letter continues, there was a devotee, Adwaita, who he was drafted but refused to go to the draft. And because of that, he was sent to prison. So Srila Prabhupada said, so far Adwaita is concerned, please do not be too much worried, because Krishna will save him. Krishna has promised to always give all protection to his devotees, so you may rest assured that Krishna will take very good care of him. Please confirm my blessings to Adwaita and tell him to keep his faith in Krishna and not to fear the people imprisoning him. Fear personified cannot remain in the presence of Krishna, and the authorities there are simply like wooden dolls or puppets in the hands of the dance master, Krishna. So there is nothing to fear, simply it is to be considered a botheration, nothing more. Encourage him to chant continuously and not to notice the activities of the prison wardens. Jai. Hare Krishna. Jai. Okay.
Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Golabani Pachayane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskachadi Jatarne. Today, Srila Prabhupada, we're remembering you on your disappearance day and the impact you've had on our lives and your presence in our lives. Two statements you made, Srila Prabhupada, were, if you think of me, I am there. I prayed to become freed from impersonalism for many, many years in regards to this statement. And now on a daily basis, even the name disappearance doesn't resonate with me because you're still so present in this world and in our lives. Because of you, we have a relationship with the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, Radha Krishna, Lord Jagannath, Lady Subhadra, and Lord Balaram, the Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, and Srivas. We have a relationship with the 22 incarnations of Lord Krishna, Sukara, four Kumaras, Narada, Narnarayan, Datfei, Danbantari, Mohini, Kurma, Matsya, Varaha, Nasringa, Brigu, Kapila, We have a relationship with the seven sacred rivers, Ganga, Cha, Jamuna, Chaiva, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmadi, Sindhu, Kavali, Jalisman, Sinidim, Kudu. And we have reawakened an eternal relationship with all the residents of your books. You said, if you think of me, I am there. I pray, Srila Prabhupada, if I was free from impersonalism, what would I see? And I always just celebrate on a daily basis, visualizing your global Hare Krishna movement giving birth to millions and millions and millions of sound incarnations of Radha and Krishna and Sitaram. And we know that this vibration, Srila Prabhupada, goes around the universe 9 times, or maybe 7, I think it's 9. And on a daily basis, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I visualize your physical body of ISKCON distributing the holy name and it going around the universe. I visualize when we say Chaturvidashi Bhagavat Prasad, that you're giving out through your own hands and through the hands of your disciples and followers and servants 4 million to 5 million plates of prasadam every day. Your devotees are taking the sacred water, the seven sacred rivers, and putting it in oceans and lakes and sharing it and with so many people and giving them the blessing of being karma-free, being freed from all their past karma. Your presence, disappearance doesn't resonate with me because you're so present in this world. We always compare you to a self-realized Godzilla and King Kong just walking into Kali's domain on the Jala Duta and having now grown to a global influence, and you have millions of people trying to serve you. So we want to thank you for that, Srila Prabhupada. We want to thank you for reintroducing us to our eternal family, all the residents of your books. And every time we open the cover of your book and we enter into the different pages, the villages and all the saints, sages and incarnations that we get to associate with, every time we open the front cover of one of your books and enter into associating with you in that book. So your blessings are here. If we think of you, you are there. I believe that. I celebrate every day your global body fulfilling the mission of Lord Chaitanya, because nothing is going to stop Srila Prabhupada's body and all the chanting that's going on all over the planet from just purifying everything and fulfilling the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaurariye Pushpavanto Sitro Sando Tamonudo. I offer my obeisances to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. They are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen on the horizon of Gaudadesh to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. I think we can, all upon all is a very decisive, clear statement that Lord Chaitanya's arrival and presence in this universe and his pure devotees, Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, are fulfilling that mission so that every single jiva from Brahma Loka to Patala Loka is being affected and purified by the presence, your presence, Srila Prabhupada. So we're all here today to celebrate you and to think of you and to offer our humble service to you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Om Gyan Timaran Nasya Gyanandana Shalakaya Chakshara Unbulitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Generally, whenever Radhanath Maharaj comes to town, he speaks in such a way, and I tell him every time, that I rediscover that I actually have a heart. As Prabhupada was saying in his lecture this morning, our problem in the material world is that we're hard-hearted. So one of the benefits of coming to these ceremonies, the formal offering of homages to the spiritual master, is that one rediscovers one's heart. At least I do. Maybe some of you are so soft-hearted all year long, but I'm usually pretty hard-hearted until I come to these functions and then you rediscover the heart. So in the Adi-lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, given to us by Srila Prabhupada, in the 11th chapter, there's a discussion of the different devotees of Lord Nityananda. And one devotee there mentioned is Murari Chaitanya. Prabhupada, in his purport to the verse about Murari Chaitanya, quotes from the Chaitanya Bhagavata where it stated that Murari Chaitanya was completely spiritual and therefore his body had no material characteristics. He was so detached from his body, he didn't even remember that he had a body, and he was therefore completely fearless. He would go into the jungle and actually chase down tigers and treat them like cats and dogs. He would like smack them on the face, and he would pick up poisonous snakes and put them on his lap and play with them. And it's further stated in that quote from the Chaitanya Bhagavata that Murari Chaitanya, wherever he went, because he set such a spiritual atmosphere, people naturally became Krishna conscious just by the atmosphere set by him. So this is Srila Prabhupada. Because Srila Prabhupada is completely spiritual, because he was completely on the spiritual platform, wherever he went, he set an atmosphere that people just naturally became Krishna conscious. Before meeting him. I mean, myself, when I first went to the Henry Street Temple in 73, spring of 1973, Prabhupada was about to visit. The lecture we saw this morning was actually filmed during that visit in 1973. So the first thing I noticed going there was the paintings, and then I noticed that the devotees were painting the building itself, and they were building a Vyasasana, and there were just so much commotion. So then I realized that the person that they were anticipating, namely Srila Prabhupada, was extremely special, because all these devotees were just running around trying to make the place special for his visit. So this is the special atmosphere that Srila Prabhupada set. International Society for Krishna Consciousness is that atmosphere created by Srila Prabhupada that naturally makes people Krishna conscious, however they come in contact with it, whether by coming to the restaurant or getting a book or going to a festival like the Rath Yatra, whatever contact they have with the atmosphere created by Srila Prabhupada, which is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, they naturally increase their Krishna consciousness. So my prayer to Srila Prabhupada on this disappearance day is to give us the strength to purify ourselves so that the society of devotees can be so pure and so attractive that as soon as people come in contact with International Society for Krishna Consciousness in whichever form they do, that they will automatically become Krishna conscious. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Om Gyanatam Nandasya, Gyananjana Salakya, Chakshram Vritam Dina, Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he reasons ill, say that Vaishnavas die while still living in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live and living spread the holy name around. So Srila Prabhupada is still very much alive. Every year we're distributing about 6 million books. So people are hearing the instructions of Srila Prabhupada all over the world. There used to be a saying that the sun never sets on the British Empire. Of course, now it does. But that statement can still be said about Srila Prabhupada's transcendental book distributors, the sun never sets on Srila Prabhupada's book distributors. There's always somebody out there. Actually, the North European BBT found that every 7 seconds, one of Srila Prabhupada's books is being distributed. Srila Prabhupada ki. So Srila Prabhupada is still giving instructions all over the world. He was having a meeting with some Sankirtan devotees in Germany. And the German Yatra was very big on book distribution. They were doing huge. So they were sitting with Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada asked him, "Are you reading my books?" And the devotee said, "Well, Prabhupada, you know, we don't have much time, we're working hard." And then Prabhupada threw up his hand and said, "Then what is the use?" You know? So he wanted us to read his books. This is what gives us inspiration to carry on and to feel the presence. He said that I'm in my books. There was one reporter that asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, "Well, then how will the movement carry on after you die?" And Prabhupada said, "I'll never die." And all the devotees just went, "Arriba." So he'll continue on in his instructions. And as we heard, Srila Prabhupada can very much be alive in our life if we follow his instructions. Yesterday I heard a nice pastime of Srila Prabhupada when he was in India, 1970. He brought his traveling Sankirtan party, 40 devotees. And there was one Indian man that was very much inspired by Srila Prabhupada's talks. And he wanted to follow Prabhupada where they were going for the programs. So he had only seen Prabhupada, actually seen his form once, so he had heard that they were going somewhere, so he went to one area, and only Prabhupada was sitting in this one area. So he didn't really recognize Prabhupada, so he said, "Excuse me, do you know of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami is coming soon?" And he said, yes, you. Prabhupada said, yes, he's coming. Yeah. "Why do you want to see him?" "Oh, he's my guru." "Oh, why do you want him to be your guru?" "Because he's spreading the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." "Oh, and who do you think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is?" "Oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna himself." And Prabhupada said, no, he's a devotee of Krishna. He said, no. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Prabhupada said, no, he's a devotee of Krishna. And this man said, no, stop talking. He's chastised. Stop talking. And Prabhupada started laughing. And then devotees started coming and paying obeisances to Prabhupada. Then he realized, oh my God, that's Prabhupada. So he paid obeisances to Prabhupada. He said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Prabhupada." Prabhupada was still laughing. He took this is Radha Govinda Maharaj, who took sannyas from Prabhupada. And then he went to, Prabhupada took him to his room, and he's still laughing. He told the devotees, "He chastised me. He chastised me because I was saying that Lord Chaitanya is not Krishna's." Prabhupada, you got a real good kick out of that. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.
So just two more stories, since we have a little bit of time here. Again, about Srila Prabhupada's final days and how he was not thinking of himself, but others. This is a quality of compassion. This is Udayananda. Said, Prabhupada was lying in his bed and we offered our obeisances. Then we stood at Prabhupada's feet and saw him. We were shocked. Govardhan immediately lost it and quietly sobbed, covering his mouth with his chatter. Prabhupada smiled and said, "Who has come?" Tamal said, "It's Govardhan and Udayananda from Detroit, Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, "Are your accommodations in the Krishna Balaram guest house okay? Did you get prasadam? Are you comfortable? Is everything all right?" Govardhan, who was saddened by Srila Prabhupada's condition, couldn't talk, and so I said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada, it's first class. Thank you for taking such good care of us." Prabhupada said, "Are the devotees in Detroit happy in Krishna consciousness? And how are Lekar Shravanti and Ambarish? How is the temple? And how is the deity worship? Are you preaching in the neighborhood?" Prabhupada went on talking about everyone else's well-being. The Kaviraj who was treating Srila Prabhupada had treated thousands of people with the same condition, and he had said, "This disease is so painful that others have writhed in pain. They can barely tolerate the pain, and they become incoherent, delirious." But Prabhupada's consciousness was crystal clear, and he was simply concerned about the well-being of others. Never once did he say, "Look at my condition. Look at how I am suffering." And Udayananda said, "I was trying to wrap my mind around how a person in such a condition could be so selfless." And one final story here. This is from Arjuna, who was in Mauritius. In 1978, Yashodhanandan Swami and I went with the Gurukula boys for the Magh Mela in Allahabad. And at that time, we met Devraha Baba, an 800-year-old saint who lived in a house on stilts. Usually he never came down from his house because everyone tried to touch his feet. But when we came, he came down, and for almost 10 minutes he spoke in Sanskrit, glorifying Srila Prabhupada as a Shaktivaishavatar. He was so old that even his eyebrows hung down in dreadlocks. He called some of his disciples who were 200, 300, or 400 years old. It was very significant how this great, highly respected saint of India wonderfully glorified Srila Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada departed, Arjuna said, a cyclone swept through India. I was in Vrindavan and had delayed returning to Mayapur for about 2 weeks because we all felt that Prabhupada was close to departing. But then I thought, no, I have to go and do my service. I got to Mayapur Sunday night, and around 3 in the morning, my brahmachari roommate, Siddhartha, woke me up. He said, "Prabhupada's here." Arjuna said, "I immediately got up and offered my obeisances." Then Siddhartha said, "Oh, it must have been a dream." We tried to take rest again, but a cyclone swept through and a huge nim tree keeled over. Wham! It woke up the whole neighborhood. Then the next morning, we heard that Prabhupada had departed. We brahmacharis thought, wow, Prabhupada came and took his nim tree. And the newspaper reported that a weird snap storm swept throughout India. On the front page, there was a photo of a tidal wave in Madras with flames on top of it. We thought, wow, how a pure devotee's departure creates inauspicious symptoms. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Sorry, my English is not the best. This is my second language. But I want, first of all, Archita Prabhu mentioned my name, and I want to, you know, always is good to give, you know, somebody, a Prabhupada disciple, then they first has to say something. But another injunction is also then, if ever you have opportunity to glorify Vaishnava, you should just grab this opportunity. So please forgive me, all Prabhupada disciple, senior devotees, than what I here to speak. But I want to glorify Prabhupada. And I never met Srila Prabhupada, but I met his disciples. And this morning, Prahlada Maharaj, he said how Srila Prabhupada, he manifests himself in different way. He's not different, but he's Murti. And one of the things what he said is he manifests himself through his disciples. And this is actually how I personally was attracted with this moment. One of first Prabhupada disciples was, I will never forget him, and he's still in my heart, Satchinandana Maharaj from Germany. He has such nice quality. I immediately pick up this kind of quality. He's very humble and very sweet and very also compassionate, and was compassionate to me. I was very much attracted to him. Do everybody understand what I'm saying? Okay. And this is how, because this is personal philosophy, Christian consciousness, we are not impersonalist. So I was immediately attracted very much with him. And for sure, in Europe in that time was Krishna Kshetra Prabhu. I was also attracted immediately by his appearance. He was also very humble, in the same time very knowledgeable. And he was giving class, was very knowledgeable. Also my first spiritual master, unfortunately he went away, but he's around, Harikesh Swami. I was inspired by him. And Bhakti Bhavan Swami from Germany, also great inspiration for me. And later on, also my former godbrother, disciples of Harikesh, this is why I pick up this service of book distribution. Two of his disciples, one is Navina Nirada Prabhu and Haryamananda Prabhu. There's so much impact in my Krishna consciousness. And so this is actually how I start to feel more and more for Srila Prabhupada also, because I feel have this kind of relationship what I gradually established with those personalities what I just mentioned, their names, and this is how I start to be attracted to Srila Prabhupada teachings and Srila Prabhupada books. And everything what Srila Prabhupada gave to us is just we cannot conceive, ultimately this Krishna prema we already have in our hearts, it's just time to awaken this state of consciousness. But everybody else have this kind of different kind of experience by reading Srila Prabhupada books, by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, how this reflect on consciousness. Particularly, I speak of myself. And later on, again, I see again this nice quality what emanate from Srila Prabhupada. I never met him, but just by hearing Srila Prabhupada disciple, how they glorify him, I start to be more attracted to him. And when I came here, there is, in this temple, is many very elevated souls who also attract me. Like Bhrigupati Prabhu, Dhritakarma Prabhu, Archita Prabhu, Salas Prabhu, everybody else, okay. And Mataji also, Prabhupada disciples, and Grand disciples. And I'm very, very, very much thankful to all of you, to Srila Prabhupada, and please give me your mercy that I can somehow stay in Krishna consciousness and try to help others and try to have a loving relationship with all of you. And for sure we'll see one another in the spiritual world. It's just a question of time, maybe in this lifetime. Hopefully all of us will go there. And thank you very much for all of you.
Listening to Prem Sankirtan Prabhu, I was thinking how the grand disciples, sometimes maybe you could kind of compare them to something like the personality of Karna, because Karna didn't have, he didn't know who he came from, but he was there with all these great personalities. And sometimes as grand disciples, we're like that. Sometimes when I first came to ISKCON, I was thinking, how did I never meet Srila Prabhupada? How did I never know him? How did the... I grew up in Venice, so he was walking on Venice Beach, and I was going to the beach there. Maybe some of the sand on the beach, I came in contact with it or something. And then, so I ended up in the women's ashram, and, you know, I was like a hippie, and I had taken intoxication, and I was just trying to straighten my mind out, and there I was with... There must have been 10 or 15 women that were wearing white saris, and they were kind of like nuns, and they were all extremely intense, fanatic book distributors. And I was thinking, I'll just be here and get my act together, and then I'll leave. And being in their association and being around the community, this was 1979, I began to realize if I don't stay with these people, I will never make a quality life for myself, you know. So it was a material goal. I began to realize as time went by that I would never really actually understand what love is. That came to my mind too, because the separation from Srila Prabhupada of those women in the ashram and all the devotees in the community at the time, when you see the picture of the gopis and they're trying to stop the chariot going to Vrindavan and Krishna and Balaram are leaving, and you see all their trauma trying to prevent Krishna from going. So that when I saw that picture, I thought that this is what these women remind me of. They remind me that they don't want to see any chance that the memory of Srila Prabhupada or Srila Prabhupada himself would not be available to them in this world. So their intensity and their devotional service and their book distribution, and it was amazing. And everywhere you would go in the ashram, there'd be a Mataji that would tell you something about Srila Prabhupada, or everything you did in the ashram, you had to do it the way Prabhupada did it. It was just a very, very wonderful experience. And that experience goes on because... you know, I continued to do book distribution as years went by, and I got married, and my first guru was very, very insistent on book distribution. And as time went by, I one day had a dream that Prabhupada came to me, and he said that... It was a shocking, shocking dream, because I didn't know that Prabhupada could speak to me so clearly in a dream as that. And I woke up just in a panic. He said, I want you to be very careful in your family life. I want you to take good care of your family. And I just bolted awake. And it was Prabhupada's voice. He spoke to me. And it was like on a phone call. I had answered the phone. And I just picked up the phone and he said that to me. So I took that very seriously, and the reason I say that Prabhupada lives on is because my spiritual master, Srila Virabhu, he had given me the same instruction, and I hadn't taken him so seriously. I thought, well, you know, I mean, this is a book distribution movement. Why should I be so, you know, into Varnashram Dharma and all that stuff? And, you know, why, you know, and which is ridiculous for a woman to think like that. But it's hard for me to think in terms of being a housewife. I just don't think that way. I'm an American woman, and my mother was a career woman, so it's just hard for me to settle down and be peaceful. and you know, do what a woman is supposed to do in life. And so what Prabhupada reiterating exactly what my guru Srila Virabhahu had spoken to me just a few months before, and actually had spoken to me the same words many times, and Prabhupada reiterating that, I just thought, you know, anyone who says that the disciplic succession is not living on past Srila Prabhupada, or that Srila Prabhupada is the only guru, is wrong. They're completely wrong. There has to be a disciplic succession. It has to go on in that way, because and actually, if you look around ISKCON right now, what Prabhupada's disciples in the form of spiritual masters, following in his footsteps and being spiritual masters to the best of their ability, have done for ISKCON is just, you know, irreplaceable. No one can actually do that unless they're completely empowered by the Shakti Vesha Avatar Srila Prabhupada. So thank you for listening to me. Hare Krishna.
Okay, myself and a god sister named Mother Mahasini used to make the Prabhupada cookies that he would pass out every morning here in New Dwarka. We made about 120 cookies or so, and I would be the one to bring them out in a silver tray laden with these cookies. I would bring them out from the door. There was a red velvet curtain. I would push through the curtain and give it to a male devotee to set before Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada would begin the cookie throw. And he seemed to enjoy this very much. This was a really fun pastime. First, he would give the cookies to a long line of Gurukula children who were lining up. And after all the children had cookies, he would give them to the sannyasis and whoever was right around the Vyasa-san. And then he would begin throwing the cookies. And this was a blast. He would throw the cookies like this, like little transcendental frisbees, and he'd throw them in this corner, and everybody would run to this corner, and there'd be emptiness here, and so then he'd throw them here, and everybody would. It would go like waves, and the devotees would be totally ecstatic. And just when you thought it couldn't get any more ecstatic, Prabhupada would take a bite of a cookie and then throw it, and everybody would just be roaring and screaming. So this went on. He spent a lot of time in New Dwarka, so this was a pastime that went on for many mornings. One morning we were told that he was leaving the next day, but we weren't told exactly what time. We were told sometime in the morning. So we didn't know whether to make the cookies or not, but we thought, just in case, we better make the cookies. So we made the 120 cookies early in the morning, and as I pushed through the velvet curtains with the tray laden with these cookies, I could see that everybody was exiting out of the three doors to have a send-off kirtan for Srila Prabhupada. And I'm like, uh-oh. So I went back in the kitchen, and I said to Mother Mahasini, who had a temper and who was exhausted, and the kitchen was a mess all the time, I said, he's gone. He left. And she looked at me, and she said, well, go find him. And I thought, oh, so I didn't know what to do. So I'm standing in the temple room by myself. The temple room's empty. And a little voice, the same little voice that helped me to join this movement, had me go out that door, the exit over there, with the tray of cookies. I pushed the door open with the tray, and there stood Srila Prabhupada in the alleyway. And he was all by himself, which was very rare. He was usually flanked by sannyasis and GBC men. He was very rarely by himself. I later learned that the reason he was alone was because there was a piece of luggage missing, and everybody was scrambling upstairs to find this piece that he needed. So he's standing there alone, and I'm opening the door with the cookies, and he turned around, and he kind of chuckled. And I said, would you like to distribute Prabhupada cookies, Prabhupada? And then he really chuckled. And I thought, maybe he didn't know they were called Prabhupada cookies. I don't know. You know, back then there was the Prabhupada two-step, the Prabhupada hat, there was Prabhupada medicine, Prabhupada cookies. And so he definitely thought this was humorous. So I stood next to him and I yelled, Prabhupada cookies, Prabhupada cookies. And there was a group in the front for the send-off kirtan. And so some little Gurukula children heard me and looked around the hedges. And they could see, there's Srila Prabhupada and there's cookies. So they came running immediately. So immediately there was a line of children, you know, and things spread really quick. I mean, there was a crowd pretty quick. So the children were lined up, very well-behaved, lined up like they were trained to do, and Prabhupada began handing the cookies from the tray I was holding. And it seemed quiet and strange, so I began in my finest voice I could muster. I began singing, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale. And as I was singing, he was passing out the cookies. And I thought, wow, I have arrived. Talk about special moments. And very soon, I don't know how long it took. Maybe it was a couple of seconds. Maybe it was a couple of minutes. But the dark sedan pulled up, and somebody came out of the car and helped Srila Prabhupada in the passenger seat. And Prabhupada raised his bead bag to salute us goodbye. And we ran to the corner right there, and we watched the car disappear. And this analogy has been given a lot, like the sun setting and rising somewhere else. And it really felt like that. It's like we were spoiled. We had Srila Prabhupada here for quite a while. But it was like the sun was setting and it was rising somewhere else. He was going somewhere else to preach Krishna consciousness to other fallen conditioned souls. And after he left, I stood there with the tray. And I thought, did that really happen? And I stood there for a long time. And that was a very special moment for me. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Gents can stand over here.